Hey everybody, happy new year from the About Last Night podcast. It's your buddy Brad Williams, and before we get to the show, just real quick, wanted to say thank you for continuously rating us on iTunes, thank you for leaving comments, thank you for emailing us, thank you for telling friends about the show, and thanks for sticking with us while we've had a couple of technical difficulties. We're going through a little bit of a transition here at the About Last Night podcast, and there's a few kinks to be ironed out. But don't you worry, we will iron them out and we will have this baby up and running smooth as ever. We got some great times coming up on the podcast. We got Kevin Nealon as a future guest, Judah Friedlander, and Brittany Furlon, the number one person to follow on Vine. Just a couple more quick things. Be sure to, whenever you go to the Amazon.com to do some shopping, first, go to aboutlastnightpodcast.com, click on the Amazon banner, and then shop as normal. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and you'll be kicking down a few extra shekels to me and my buddy Adam Ray. Speaking of Adam Ray, go to his website, adamraytv.com, and find out when and where he'll be performing. He's got some dates coming up at the Mystic Lake Casino, January 17th and 18th. In Prior Lake, Minnesota. And also, Adam will be at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, Michigan, January 23rd, 24th, and 25th. You can follow Adam Ray on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Me, you can find me at Funny Brad on Twitter, BradWilliamsComedy.com, and you can see me headlining the Columbus Funny Bone, January 23rd through the 26th. And the Baltimore Comedy Factory, January 30th through February 1st. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now please enjoy this great episode with Lisa Kudrow.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. It's about last night.
There you go. Night.
Oh, you sound good.
Can you hear yourself?
Now you're in.
I can't. Hello. Yeah.
And you can either you can take the mic out and hold it, or you can just pull that little thing towards you, and you can cough into it too.
Throat,
you can cough into it.
Yeah, why
this
not?
This is your episode. You can do whatever you want.
And you have to get really close to it too, don't you?
Yeah. That's why you can pull it closer to you. It doesn't have to stay on that little. This table
on the noise canceling mat.
Yes, we're very scientific here with the coasters shaped as bread slices.
You know who gave me those? No. Sandy from the movie.
Oh, really?
They're called toasters.
Oh, that's so funny. You call her Sandy.
Oh, you know, they work together. They're cool. Yeah. They're
you know what's funny
they're,
is people when after that would be like, do you call her Sandy now? I'm like, is that like a known thing that like if you become like that the name changes for the, I don't know.
I don't know her. All I know is she's really talented.
But Melissa was
who I just met.
Oh, really?
I just met her Saturday night.
The coolest, right?
Yeah.
Where'd you meet her at?
A party, a dinner party.
See, Brad, when you get to that level of fame, you get to go to really cool parties.
Oh, it was our one dinner party of the year.
Oh, really?
Are you not a person that goes out in Hollywood a lot? Or are you sort of a homebody?
Yeah, we don't go out.
You don't go out? So I can't search TMZ and find inappropriate pictures of you getting out of a car or anything like that?
No.
Darn.
I mean, you can search. They won't have anything interesting. Just me sort of smiling at a camera.
Yeah.
Because if you smile, there's no story.
Yeah.
It's not interesting.
That's true. We were just talking to another guest we have on how I think some celebrities feel almost a need now to do something outrageous and crazy to keep their name in the news. It's like, you don't really have to do that. You just keep putting out good work.
Right.
That helps.
Right.
You know, just.
But that's hard to do.
Sure.
Well,
it's easier to be a spectacle than to create a spectacle.
Did you get that from a fortune cookie?
No, I mean, it sounds like I did. From a bad one.
No. But to answer your question, we did get to improvise a lot in the heat, and that was awesome. But like, I'm sure, as you know, like, I mean, it was my first experience doing that. So like, mm-hmm. there was, you know, at one point when he had me hitting on Sandra in like the booth of the club that I owned. And like, at one point, Paul was just like, I'm going to just let you go for like 15, like he just one take of like 15 minutes and just trying to impress her and hit on her and just be a sleazeball. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, only pieces of that gets used. So like, you watch it and be like, I said much funnier stuff. Right. But like, but that's just how it goes.
But you
right?
were great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you were really good.
It's the beard.
Yeah,
and the
okay.
true religion genes.
No, when you really right. look closer. That's what it was.
That's a secret to all actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It starts
wardrobe.
With
the... yeah. Wardrobe and grooming.
Hey, I can honestly say that as a little person in Hollywood, I rely heavily on wardrobe.
Yeah.
Because I just can't come in and like yeah, they don't have clothes ready for me. That's like an effort.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You have to bring in your own stuff?
Oh, I bring in my own stuff a lot, and also
sometimes.
But you
can tell them your sizes, and then they have it.
Yeah, and then they say, nah, that's too much work.
Like, no! Really?
Yeah, I mean, they're just like, well, Peter Dinklage hasn't played that part yet, so that costume doesn't exist. So we're just going to have to get your own.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all right. But hey, it makes it a lot easier. That and when they
do you sew? That's their question for you.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
That's we're so happy you're here. Do you sew?
Yeah. We we gave you the part with an anticipation of some sewing abilities.
This is really a disappointment.
Also your co-stars need adjustments too. We don't want to pay an actual costume designer.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've been on sets like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And how long were you in the Groundlings for?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't remember. I don't remember when I got in. And I don't remember exactly when I resigned. But
okay.
I think I resigned when the Friends pilot got picked up, maybe even.
Oh, you were still in Groundlings when that happened? Maybe. You know, these
maybe.
These are details that we can ask
so.
Our listeners to Google.
Yeah. It all becomes... who was in your class? Like anyone that we know?
Well,
Danny Glover.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
I've heard a rumor.
Famous Groundling.
The famous
Groundling. Danny Glover.
He ended every scene with "I'm too old for this shit." They're like, "Well, dude, you can just leave then, man, if you don't want to be a part of the scene."
And blackout. Get every blackout.
Yeah.
Kathy Griffin.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, she was hilarious. And you know what? She was the best at was in between sketches when you know they needed to.
Fill time.
They needed time for yeah. someone to change.
Transition, yeah.
Sure.
And, or, I don't know, just to change the pace, and they would just send Kathy out because she was so great with the audience.
That's awesome.
Oh, so she'd just go out and talk.
She would just go out and talk.
Well, and she even does that now. Like, I think,
that's what she does
yeah,
now.
Because yeah. it was like last year she put out two specials in a
yeah.
year.
No, she's
which
just,
as a comic is just
yeah, it's bananas.
Unreal.
She's in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most specials, the most comedy specials
what?
Now officially. Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I saw it on Bravo.
Yeah. Then it's true.
I'm pretty sure Kathy just owns that network and can put out anything that she wants about that.
So she probably honed her stand-up chops doing that, right? I mean, like what great training.
Yes. I mean, that's what we used to talk about. I mean, she and I spent a period where we would talk on the phone for like 2 or 3 hours at like 11 o'clock at night.
That's great.
And
just rehashing the day and
I don't know what there was
girl
to
stuff.
Talk about.
Yeah, when you talk
that long.
When you talk for 2 or 3 hours, there's going to be a 20-minute chunk on slippers just or something inconsequential. Like
but,
it's not going to be all philosophical.
But the guy version of that is going out and drinking till 3 a.m. and instead we would just be on the phone.
Yeah, your way is much cooler and healthier.
Right, and doesn't involve waking up in a dumpster the next day
no.
or waking up next to strange people. So
a lot of laughing. I mean, it was a lot of laughs cuz
well,
she's
obviously.
So funny.
Oh, well, sure. She's great.
No, because she could talk to anybody in the audience and be hilarious and make fun of them, and they would still love her because she was so funny.
So likable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was just, that's her gift.
Now, what made you, because you weren't on a path that was going for show business. You majored in biology?
Biology.
At mm-hmm. Vassar?
Yeah.
So majored in biology at Vassar. Not exactly a major that screams, well, this person has to be seen. Like, this person, we must hear from the artistic perspective of this person.
Yeah.
Anything funny happen in your lab today?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I
must have heard that every day.
I got a 20-minute chunk on osmosis, let me tell you.
Photosynthesis. People think it's not that funny, but...
Although we were funny, I have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one of my housemates was also a biology major, and this girl was a model, like a real model.
What?
A biology major that's a model?
When she started.
Like a Jamba Juice hand model or like a Nordstrom jeans?
Teen magazine. Like when she started freshman year, you know, everyone was like, now that girl, she was on the cover of Teen.
That's a big deal.
Gorgeous. This gorgeous, gorgeous
So
girl.
Everyone just hated her, right? Like,
no,
oh, great. You got model
great.
Looks and you're my
She's a great person.
Gorgeous
yeah.
and hilarious and really smart. And, you know, we would do our labs. She'd go, what the fuck? I dropped the bottle of estrogen on my hand. And the teacher was like, holy shit. You know, that goes right through your skin. So, I don't know. You know? So, I'm white and sweating going, well, you can't have estrogen. That's a lot of estrogen that got soaked into your body. That's a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, nah, what the fuck? they were fun. See?
Yeah.
Funny.
Biology can be funny.
You know, hilarious. What I mean, in biology, would try to be funny, but that's because I had a lack of interest in the sub. But like when we would dissect like the pigs,
mm-hmm.
I would, there was a girl in my group who was just petrified by the whole experience. So I took the pin mm-hmm. that you use to like pin down their limbs as your
pith.
The pith
into the brain.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
And so I would take that little thing and put it on the bottom of the pig's lip and then
I was thinking of frog. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Never
yeah.
mind.
Yeah.
Go
but
on.
That one too. I used all the animals as puppets.
Right.
And so this girl, as she was cutting them open, I would tilt the pig's head up and then use the mouth and be like, hey, what are you doing? Stop cutting me open right now. And
yeah, we weren't that disrespectful.
How dare you? That thing gave its life for science, Adam.
I know.
It did. You know, not by choice.
Teacher was not happy with me.
No. Very
Maybe go in the hall. Still, when I don't know if teacher still send kids in the hall, but
no, very disrespectful.
And that's when Lisa left the podcast.
I can't take that kind of cruelty to pork.
I can pinpoint the moment. this is happening, I feel like, largely in part because of a mutual friend of ours who happens to be your nephew,
mm-hmm.
Spencer.
Well, you know both my nephews. You know Spencer and Drew.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
The
Whistler.
Did you watch that?
Yeah, I loved it.
You
were great.
Oh, I thought that was such a great idea for
it,
right? For
yes.
a show. Well, one of my nephews did a web series, and I mean, you know, maybe if you know a handful of more movies, maybe I can help him get that made. But it was the premise was what?
Funny.
Yeah, well, it was the he was
an idiot guy who thought, you know, he could make his mark instead of actually learning an instrument or like yeah. honing any kind of craft or talent by whistling.
Yeah,
just this group of whistlers.
Group, and he forms a group of whistlers. I mean, it's like seems like you should just walk in with a whistling theme song mm-hmm. and that premise, and
sure.
somebody should be like, get Hollywood on the phone.
It was funny. Yeah. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So stupid.
So stupid. And so, and I remember, and Spencer's a big fan of comedy. He's been just a great, not only a great buddy, but like one of those, I mean, you have a handful of, especially when you're starting out and doing stand-up, like I've been doing it 7 years now, and it's like Spencer, you need those friends who just come out like, and support
yeah,
and like
yeah,
even
yeah.
because especially you know he wouldn't come to like the open mics and stuff like that, but like once I got into you know some of the clubs, even when they're doing like bringer shows where you have to bring people to mm-hmm. come, and so he's come and still up until now, so he's seen like the progression too
mm-hmm.
And I remember he did a show, he put on one at the John Lovitz Club
right yeah
who's a good buddy of yours
mm-hmm.
and I remember when I went up to John and I was like the first time I met him when he opened the club, I was like, John, I actually, we have a mutual friend, Spencer Sherman. He goes, Spencer Sherman.
And he goes,
how is he? Is he still Jewish?
Oh, my God.
I was like,
you sound exactly like him. Well, good.
The thing about John Lovitz is that he never disappoints.
He's
always Lovitz.
Yeah. I don't even think he was trying to be funny. It was just like, man, your cadence is on point.
It's so funny.
And
yeah, he always taught. Yeah. I mean, you know, he and my brother were best mm-hmm. friends growing up. So
that's
just how it always was. Like, Lisa, have you had some wine tonight?
Lisa, yeah, have you had some wine?
Yeah, that's it. Because you seem to be whining.
Nice.
Just that delivery.
What was he and your brother were, how do they, buddies in high school or what?
Junior high. I think they met when they were like 14 or younger.
So and you're just around him all the time.
He was at our house a lot. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and
this is in Southern California because you guys all grew up here.
Yeah.
Locals.
Yeah.
Never had that moment where you got $25 in your bank account, you go, I'm moving to California with a dream.
No. No, we were already in California with a dream.
Woo!
In Tarzana.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's not Hollywood, by the way.
No, it's not.
For all you listeners, yeah. Where does Tarzana, is like, how far from L.A.?
Well, it's still, it's L.A. County. I mean, right. It's still L.A. It's just
it's
the
like
valley.
Pasadena?
So it's just over the, over the canyon, you know, and then west.
Don't worry. They film porn there. It's still within the realm.
They do now. I mean, it had been like Chatsworth or Canoga Park.
Sure.
And then it started moving east.
Well, as it does.
Closer and closer to the hub.
Well, the better talent was out this way, so.
Sure. As people know.
And then John, so in doing biology at Vassar, and then mm-hmm. and your mom was a travel agent, dad mm-hmm. was a headache doctor, right?
Headache specialist, yeah.
So, I mean, where did the comedy, like, come from that, like, at least influence you or made you want to get into it?
Well.
Or is the headache doctor world funnier than we know?
Well, I thought everyone in my family was really funny.
Right. It always is kind of like that.
Because I was the youngest. My, brother's 6 years older and my sister's 8 years older. So I was always, the idiot youngest by a lot.
Right.
So
couldn't get a word
really
in.
Funny. So I would just sort of steal their stuff and bring it to school. And, it was much more mature than what the other first graders were talking about.
Well, sure. You were coming in there with jokes about Excedrin. I mean, that's...
Which can only get
like,
you so far.
Yeah, that's like the A so, material on the playground.
Other kids had Dayquil bits. was there like one experience, though, that like maybe got you interested in doing comedy? Or how did like acting...
Oh, well, okay, so I did like to...
Take us on the journey of the Lisa Kudrow story.
Okay, if you're ready to sleep. everyone turn your lights down low. Take deep breaths. And here we go. my story.
Lovely.
Narrated by Barry White right now would be really great.
Yeah.
You just do the prologue.
I liked... In fifth grade, I took a play production or some play. I was in a play, and I loved it. And I loved the attention. I loved being on stage and learning the lines. And I wasn't bad, I guess. I don't even know what it was. But then in junior high school, one summer, I took play production where we got to write our own sketches and come up with funny stuff. And I loved it. And that teacher, thought that I was really funny. And I made a whole new group of friends, which was important because I had been cast out of my previous group of friends.
Why?
So, I don't know. They got bored with me. It was junior high. I mean,
Well, look who's laughing now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, junior high kids are so quick to kind of like form cliques and then break off. Or...
I mean, you're the nerd of the school. Then you run around the halls with two pizza slices on your eyelids, and all of a sudden you're the hit.
You're the king of the campus.
Not talking from personal experience or anything. Not saying that was my secret.
But it was. That's why you're... what you meant by the story, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's why you're sponsored by Little Caesars, right?
Exactly.
Oh, really? It's a fancy podcast.
I mean,
love that would be the reason that we were a fancy podcast. Little Caesars? Do you guys get free breadsticks?
Wait,
I had no idea the caliber of programming.
Yeah, you've got real money.
So you get the $5 large pizzas for $2? Holy shit, you're living.
Sometimes an extra liter of Sprite. Diet Sprite, that is.
But it was fun, and I was very proud of my work. I mean, I did. I was. I wrote.
But that's great that you got to create your own stuff and not just do Wizard of Oz again.
Oh, my God. No, I mean, he'd have us do one thing that we had to do,
Yeah.
But I wrote a sketch on Family Affair.
Nice.
Which, I mean, I'm too young to have seen it, when it would originally have aired at night. But I saw the reruns, and it cracked me up, and I did a good job, I have to say, for like 12 or 13 or however old I was.
Yeah,
sure.
I had Uncle Bill, who was only ever saying, well, French, I don't know anything about raising kids. That's all he said.
But even at that age, like, because that's the age when kids are sort of finding their cliques and finding out what groups that they're going in, and everyone's always too cool to do anything.
Yeah.
That's when it takes – it really is a brave thing to do where you go up in front of those peers and say, yeah, this is something I wrote, and then you perform that because, man, this the pressure of if it doesn't go well.
Well, yes, except I didn't ever think that it wouldn't go well.
There you go.
You have to have that confidence.
You have to be a little delusional.
For sure.
Oh, absolutely. Ab and I walk up on stage every night in front of 300 people and think, yeah, we're the funniest people in the room. That's incredibly egotistical.
No, but you have to.
Sure.
And also, I forgot that I was a girl, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, girls just weren't considered as funny. Mm-hmm. People aren't as comfortable laughing.
Sure.
Especially in 1970, whatever.
Do you think it's gotten better?
Yeah. I think it's gotten a lot better.
Well, yeah. Now you look at your co-star of The Heat, which made $200 million at the box office.
Whoa.
You look at Melissa McCarthy, and she's pretty much the top, not comedian, like female, but she's one of the top comic actors in the business across the board.
Yeah. But Kristen Wiig and Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. It's like, you know, lousy with funny women.
Yeah.
Our industry now. It's great.
And then when did you get into, like, because then you did improv, right? Sketch and improv.
Well, I mean, I took a break from all of it, high school and college. Not one play.
To focus on school.
To focus on school.
So it was maybe a hobby at that time.
Yeah, it was just, that's a fun thing you can do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then as you're becoming an adult, you have to, you know, take yourself a little more seriously.
Right. Sure. You're like, oh, crap, I got rent and things like that I have to consider.
No, not in high school. No, I just thought, I won't respect myself if I'm an actress.
Wow.
Yeah, I was tough.
Was that any...
I was very
That's a very mature thought.
I mean, I was 30, you know, from the time I was born, basically.
So. With the jobs that your parents had, was it anything that you were thinking, like, I have to do this for them?
No.
Or was it just you were self-motivated?
Self-motivated.
Wow.
Self-motivated, yeah. But after I graduated, and I was doing research with my father, like real research, you know, that would be great to get published and then, you know, get into a good graduate program. But then I realized, oh, you know what, I should, you know, you're only 22. You don't have a mortgage. You have no responsibilities. This is the time you try acting. This is the time you do that.
Good move.
It was. It was a good move. And I also had a weird thing that kept happening, you know, that I've mentioned it before that, you know, I'd be driving around and I'd hear some promo on the radio for a sitcom and they'd play their best joke. And I'd think, oh, God, they're just like hitting that joke so hard. It's so over the top. Just
you were critiquing it?
And saying, Lisa, remember to throw it away when you do it.
Whoa. And you hadn't even planned on doing it.
No, I hadn't. And so I'd have that thought. And then the next second was, why would I? What? When I do it.
Had you already like seen the Friends finale in your head before it even happened?
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Right.
You remember in the finale of
Phoebe,
the best show of all time, yes.
When you auditioned for Phoebe. Yeah. Remember? No. Remember,
Smelly Cat is way funnier than Smelly Dog. Just remember that. You're like a spokesman for the whole secret thing where it's like visualize and anticipate and
it
like
it happened to me. It was weird. And then I'd see someone on a talk show and I'd think, okay, when you're on Letterman, please don't.
No.
Have you applied that stuff that you had, like, I thought, like, you had about that?
Yeah, I did. I mean,
like, the first time you went on a talk show, were you still.
Oh, that. No.
Yeah.
But, no. And then when I decided to become an actress, I thought, now do comedy because I think the serious actors might take themselves too seriously and I don't think you can handle that.
Yeah,
but the comedy people must be more fun. And little did I know that the comedy people were way more messed up.
Yeah, we're way more fucked up.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely we are.
Well, you got to leave something to learn.
And did you look at other companies or did someone just tell you, hey, Groundlings, that's the place
John
to go?
John
did.
Yeah, yeah. I called him and I said, okay, so I am going to be an actress after all. And he said, great, go to the Groundlings. That's where I learned the most.
And was he involved in Saturday Night Live at that point? Or was he
had just gotten Saturday Night Live.
Oh, he had just,
gotten on the show and told her to do the Groundlings.
Lorne Michaels loves me. Come to my club. I have excellent chicken wings.
And Hawaiian shirts galore.
Is he that easy or are you both that talented?
I'm terrible.
You know what, I'm not going to answer that.
Yeah,
that's really good.
I do about three impressions.
Right.
I do Jay Leno a little bit, but it's more the head bob, really.
Oh, and then, that's good, though.
And then I do a little Tony Danza, which is just a little extension of my actual voice. Lisa, it's good to see you. You never came on my talk show, did you, when I had it in New York? Oh, I would have loved to have had you. I didn't really have much of a monologue. I just talked about magazine covers, you know.
Hey, I bet you'd do a good Matt LeBlanc.
Oh, yeah. People got that. You know, my mom used to tell me, she's like, you could have been Joey on Friends. She's that supportive Jewish mother that's just like, any cop show, you could be that cop. You know, you could be that, you could have been that pizza delivery guy in the porno or what, you know, or you could have been, you could have been Joey on Friends. Like, mom, I was 12 and that came out. Well, that would have made it that much more impressive, you know? Like, okay. Well,
I love that your mom is that supportive that she aims for the high roles. Like, you could have been Joey on Friends. Mine's like, I saw that Christmas ad. There were three elves in it. Why weren't you one of those elves? They were all running after Santa. One kicked them. You could kick them.
You've got a good kick, sweetheart.
You've got a good kick.
Have they not seen you kick? Oh, man.
That's funny.
Yeah, but the LeBlanc. I mean, what was that?
How you doing?
Yeah, oh, yeah. For sure. Actually, people, I've done that before.
Of course you have.
How you doing?
There you go.
My voice is too deep. This is the best.
No, but I mean, once you really know him, though, he's really funny. He's really direct. He's like, why don't you fucking shut your trap? You know?
It's so subtle and dry,
why
right?
don't you shut your fucking trap?
And that's just to the catering lady. Like,
when I want to hear something from you, I'll ask. How's that?
I keep hearing, is that story that's thrown around about, people use it as examples about how, like, you were going to, like, stop the biz and then Friends happened?
Oh, no, that's not true.
That's not true? No. Do you know that story circulates?
No. No. Well, it's a good story.
Yeah, they were like,
that's a good one.
I can't, probably 10 different people throughout my journey in the last handful of years be like, you know, and when anytime you feel down, for sure my mom is one of those people, you know, because she'll be like, hey, just like Michael Jordan does, you know, she'll read like one quote from somebody like that. He, you know, what he did at the free throw line when he felt the pressure, he just said, fuck it. And he had fun. So I'm going to audition. She's like, just say fuck it and have fun.
Well,
like,
she's right.
I know. Yeah, she is.
That's a good one.
But she said, she goes, Lisa Kudrow, you know, was feeling the pressure of the biz and was about to just call it quits. And then Friends happened. I was like, do you know this for a fact? Oh, it's people know that's what happened.
People know.
Yeah.
That's what everybody knows.
Yeah. But so,
yeah,
I mean,
that's not true.
Like, no,
but
she's
totally
wrong.
True.
She's like, no, I was never going to quit. I'm too damn good at this. Yeah. Why not?
No, that's not why.
Because you had a handful of TV stuff up until that point, right?
Yeah. I had. I got fired from Frasier.
All right.
I was, rehearsing with them to shoot the pilot, and then they came to their senses and fired me.
What?
And you know, put Perry Gilpin in the role because that's who he originally wanted.
And where's Perry Gilpin now?
She's doing great.
Damn it.
She was, after all, on Frasier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't know if you know, Brad, if you have a television.
Was that a popular show?
It stayed on for a while.
Okay.
Really?
For God's sakes, Niles. That's the only line I know.
It won Emmys every 5 minutes. Like, even when they weren't giving out Emmys, it won Emmys.
It's like, it's been about 2.5 hours. We should give Frasier another Emmy.
Let's acknowledge Frasier again.
Let's acknowledge him.
Kelsey might get a little anxious. Yeah, let's give another Emmy. Why not?
Use three syllable words.
It
was a good show.
Yeah, it was. It took place in Seattle.
Where
I'm from.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why. That's actually what actually got me initially into it.
No shit, Frasier.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, that's where I live. There's one shot every 6 episodes of a place I kind of know. You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
So it made you feel like maybe I could.
Yeah, a little bit. I was like, if Kelsey Grammer can do it. No, I mean.
Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah. I was 5 and I knew that.
How did you deal with that? Because to be on a pilot and then to be, you said, replaced.
It was devastating.
Yeah. People tell you, oh, don't take it personal. But it's kind of impossible not to because someone's literally saying, we like this person more than you.
Yeah.
And I mean, so.
Well, it wasn't so much that. It was just the bigger fear was, you know, maybe you're just one of those unlucky people.
Sure.
Who will never make it.
Yeah.
And that's sad. You know, that.
Sure.
But I think, you know, the thing that kind of snapped me out of it, I was really. Yeah, of course. I was down about it.
Yeah,
sure.
And I was in such a state that I would sort of, you know, get dressed every day and then walk to Michel Richard, which was a great French bakery, and get a chocolate croissant and then walk back, and all that walking around outside, I was getting blonder and blonder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just have the colorist match that. And then, like, within 3 months, I was blonde. So that was a good thing. I don't know. I mean, you look for anything, you know. But the thing that snapped me out of it was a few days later. Do you know who Richard Kind is?
That sounds really
actor, Richard Kind. I met him when I had done a guest star on Mad About You.
And you're great on that, by the way.
Richard Kind talks like this if you've never met him. He's fantastic. Yeah. He's really funny. So he.
Oh, Richard Kind. Yeah. Yeah. That he's.
Oh yeah, dude. He was on Curb all the time.
Curb
was
hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. He's great.
So good.
Great actor.
I had done a guest star on Mad About You, where I played you know, Paul Reiser's date named Karen, and so I met Richard, and
then you were the aloof waitress.
Not yet.
Okay.
I had just done this one guest star, and we'd become friends, and so he called me. He said, "I just heard you got fired from Frasier." He said, "I don't know how you get up in the morning, get out of bed, get dressed, and even get out of the house. I wouldn't be able to do it." And I thought, well, but I do it, so maybe I'm not so bad.
Yeah,
I
feel sure,
like maybe
sure.
I'm doing pretty good.
Now, did it just end with that, and then it was, "You should be feeling awful. Goodbye." Like, was it uplifting?
Like that. It was, yes, because it made me laugh. It was so ridiculous.
Right.
It was like I'd hang my head in shame. I mean, you know, not exactly, but
to the point to where you're like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to be. I guess because I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm as down in the dumps.
Remarkable at coping.
Yeah,
if that's how I'm supposed to.
Sure,
it actually made me feel much, much better.
That's great.
And then
thickened your wall.
And what?
It thickened your wall of like being able to take.
Yeah,
that type
so
of.
Maybe okay, that's good. And then hearing from people that I respected, you know, who were like, well, don't worry about it. All right, so you didn't get that. Big deal. You'll do something else because you're good. And, you know, Robin Schiff, who I knew from The Groundlings, she later wrote and produced Romy and Michelle's high school reunion.
Hilarious.
And, you know, she had said, you know, I know you might not even want to hear it right now, but, you know, one door closes, another one opens, or it really is true. I was like, uh-huh, thanks.
Of course, yeah.
You know.
You don't want to hear it, but like that, I mean, that really, you have to.
My oven's on, I have to, you know, stick my head in it. But, no, I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't that bad.
Sure.
But any, so I just would, I really used that stuff to keep me up. You
yeah.
know, like, well, Conan, my friend Conan thinks I'm funny, and he's about to go do his late night show in New York, so he's really good, and if he thinks I'm funny, then I'm gonna be okay.
You were in a sketch group with Conan, or
yeah, well, before that we were.
Yeah, okay. I heard you say in some interview that like you used him, you thought he was really funny, so you used him as kind of like a gauge.
Yeah,
I think that's such a genius move because it's like that's, I mean, if you know, and obviously look where he's gone off to, but it's like to have.
I wasn't
a,
wrong,
right?
He is really funny. Yeah. He is really smart, and he was writing for Saturday Night Live. And
while he's in your group at that time.
No.
What would he do that made you go, oh, that's something that I like?
Well, improvising, you know, just in class.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was actually the reason my first improv class, the Groundlings wouldn't take me. So I had to go to another class. Cynthia Seghetti is the teacher. She's unbelievably good.
I like that name.
Cynthia Seghetti. Yeah, she was great. And this first class, I thought, well, this is all just really embarrassing. Everyone's sort of like throwing a space ball around and making way too much of it.
Yes, some of the improv games can get ridiculous if you're just walking in for the first time and not really expecting it.
Right.
And also
and
just people
seeing how people are doing it.
Yeah, like really big.
Really big and, you know,
heightening
with
stakes
their
to
emotional adjustments. Now they're sad throwing the ball. And I was like, oh, no. I don't. That's not.
You were always more. So that whole like throw that. It away, subtle, dry. I mean, you were always kind of that was your.
I want. That's what I was hoping to do, but you know, I thought, well, all right, this is. I don't know how that. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
So I was late coming to the next class because I wasn't even sure I was going to show up. But I did, and I sat there, and she was like, "You want to get on stage?" Like, no, I don't want to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too polite. So I sat in the audience and watched, and there everyone was being embarrassing, sort of lifting a disc all together, except for this one guy who was lifting a disc, and it looked like he was lifting a disc that wasn't there. And I went, that's what commitment means. Oh, that's what that means. And it's not embarrassing at all. It's really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, introduced myself to him, and it was Conan. And I just thought, all right, so you just stick with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do what he does. And, you know, you can identify with him. You don't have to identify with, you know, some of these other people.
Sure.
Making a little too much of
No, I think we can say who one of those other guys was. It was Danny Glover. And he might be a great actor, but he's a terrible improviser. He butchered every scene. He followed you from class to class.
He was getting too old for this shit.
He was getting too old for this shit. He was like, that's my go-to. Like, Danny, you got to stop using that. Anyway.
Blackout.
Yeah.
And then, well, if you're going to do a callback, I'm going to do a callback.
That was great.
It's great.
Hey, fine.
We've done podcasts before. You're good.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect comedic timing. And was there a, I mean, no, I asked that question already. Was
Jesus.
He just got out of prison 2 days ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I
shanked like three people, but uh-huh. But now, but they didn't die because I shanked.
Shanked them.
Yeah, and I shank it, so okay. it's just on the thigh. There's no like
on the shank. You shanked the shank.
Exactly.
Okay.
That was my calling card. I shanked the flank.
You're a flank shanker. You flank shanker.
I'm. Oh my god.
I'm embarrassed for me too.
Don't have
That's
to be.
All right.
Not at all. And then when? How long after Groundlings does Friends happen? Is there?
Oh, a while. Okay, a while.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So after the Frasier, I'm chewing gum.
You're everybody. Good. Yeah. Can you? Do you want to pull the mic even a little closer? You can.
Really?
Yeah. Like that. Awesome.
All right.
You can even pull the little thing if it's if you
what?
Want.
What?
Yeah. Oh. All the way towards you.
I have to do so many things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
So after I got fired from Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
And I started running out of money.
Sorry to bring that up again, by the way.
No.
Yeah.
Then I got a call. So Danny Jacobson at Mad About You, you know, he remembers when you were on last season, and they're asking you to come in. It's, you know, in an hour. I don't have the sides. I don't know what it is. The character doesn't even have a name. It's called Waitress, and I don't think you should go, said my agent.
Whoa.
All right.
And I said, well, I don't think I say no to work.
Nice.
Right now.
Right. And especially in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
well, I didn't know what it was. It was Waitress. It was two lines.
Sure. But it's work. And at the time,
I needed the money.
Yeah.
And it's a great, that was my favorite show, Mad About You.
Yeah.
One of the best written shows
so
on
good.
TV.
Good for you to take control of your career like that, too, because I feel like a lot of people, I mean, I went through this the first handful of years where knowing when to speak up with your representation and your
right,
like,
because you think, well, they know better.
They know better.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I went, and I just remember thinking, okay, you'll just, as I was driving there, just listen and respond and be funny. Just listen and respond and be funny. And it was just Waitress, and I, you know, did my two lines and was funny. And by the end of the week, Danny Jacobson said, now, would it be all right with you if I had you in five more episodes?
What?
I was about to look for a day job. I was about to go like, all wow. right, well, I've never been a waitress before. Maybe I should try. I don't know. I need a day
wow,
job.
Sure.
Now. And I didn't have to. I almost started crying. It's like, oh my God.
That's
unbelievable. Yes, you have my permission to put me in five more episodes.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, let me check with my agent first who didn't want me to go on this. Let me see if he's okay with that.
Well, and so then because I was on Mad About You, one of the writers on Mad About You was Jeffrey Klarik.
Okay.
Jeffrey Klarik's boyfriend is David Crane.
Wow.
David Crane and his writing partner, yeah. Marta Kaufman, wrote the pilot, which would become Friends.
Friends, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's how he called me in. You know, the producers were calling me right. in to audition.
What was that process like? I mean, did you go straight to the producers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so you go to the producers and then, you know, there were like three or four auditions.
Yeah.
Producers and then one special audition just for Jimmy Burrows, who I had met on Frasier.
Yeah.
When I got fired.
When you got fired. So obviously a lot of good karma in that room.
Well, I didn't know what to think during that audition because yeah. I did. It was a monologue, too. And I did it, and he went, no notes.
Wow.
That's it.
That's it. Just
all right.
No notes.
And I left, and I was like, well, either no notes means.
Yeah, then you go to that actor
perfect,
trying to analyze
or
it.
It means. I can't help this girl. I already watched her fail on another show. You know, I didn't know what
of course.
It meant. And I didn't care because as long as I could keep going back to Mad About You,
yeah.
I didn't care.
Of course.
But he passed me along. And then there were a lot of auditions and there were a lot of really good actresses who had worked a lot. I'm trying to remember names.
Yeah.
Probably
good ones.
Probably a good seven or eight of Seinfeld's girlfriends. From the
no,
show.
No, no, no. These were like, Kathleen Wilhoit, who's a phenomenal actress and really good. And someone, I mean, I saw her and went, ooh, yeah, okay, she's good. If they're smart, they'll hire her.
Sure.
In fact. And other people. And I saw a couple of them. This was, I think, the Warner Brothers audition where you do it in a theater. So it's like
jeez.
50 oh. people. There's a lot of like every executive, everybody's there.
And are they laughing during something like that, or are they trying to SNL cold?
They're trying to. I think
you.
I don't remember. I didn't pay attention
yeah,
to them. I was
good.
Doing what I was supposed
good.
To do, you know. But I'd see other people flipping out, other actors really flipping out over the process, going, did you see how many fucking people were in there?
Jesus.
God, how are you supposed to be able to audition? How are you supposed to do well in an audition when there are that many people?
Well, and how are you supposed to do well on the show when it's a live studio audience?
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, do you need to take in every single person at the audition? Yes. Yeah. Treat them like the anonymous crowd of on the audience.
It's like, hey, Danny Glover, maybe if you would just focus on your on your sides.
God. What happened with you and Danny Glover?
All right, well, I was 11, and I was riding my bike back from 7-Eleven. Uh-huh. And I was getting popsicles because it was summertime and it was hot. And how do you cool down in the summertime?
Popsicle.
Thank you. Okay. So I got in the firecracker one, and I was biking by, and he threw one of those, like, wiffle balls out his car window.
Is this a true story?
Sure.
I mean...
Is it?
For the
he
sake
throws
of
a wiffle ball at the firecracker popsicle, and there's like an urban legend if like the firecracker popsicle gets hit by a ball from somebody in a lethal weapon, then it actually blows up like a firecracker in your face.
Even though it's ice. Okay.
I don't know. Right. See, you're the scientist, so I don't. And so then.
And it does take a scientist to realize that a popsicle getting hit by a ball would not
combust
up in your face.
Yeah.
It wouldn't catch fire and explode. Thank God I'm a scientist, so I could know those things.
Exactly. That's why you're here. Answer those important questions.
So much better off than the rest of humanity. You can't work out those. Very sophisticated.
Yeah. Thank you for breaking that down.
So the part of Phoebe was just written as a waitress. It wasn't written as.
I confused you.
That was Mad About You.
I see what's happened.
Too many hit shows going on.
I'm sorry. She's
Mad
just
Mad About
talented.
You was a waitress.
Yeah.
And then later they named her Ursula.
Which happened to be the twin. Of Phoebe.
Later on.
Okay. Call back.
And the Friends thing audition happened because of my exposure to, you know, people.
Yeah.
Because I was on Mad About You.
It really is that whole one thing leads, like, right
yes,
to the
never,
next.
I never said no to anything. I say, I every actor
is there a lesson
to
be learned there?
No,
yeah, I was just going
to
say,
except
yeah.
Except porn. You say no to porn. You always say no to porn.
Well, I'll always say no to porn. You heard it here
first. The story's good, though.
first time you heard it was here.
I just picture some girl listening to this podcast going, you know what? It's not looking good. I'm going
to
do some porn.
Have to do some porn.
And then she hears your voice and goes, but you know what? Lisa Kudrow says not to do porn.
Ever.
Ever.
Always say no
always.
To porn.
Yeah.
Always.
Doesn't matter how good the soundtrack is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right. Or they're promising a good soundtrack.
Sure, yeah.
Sometimes they promise it'll be a good soundtrack.
You got John Williams. You're like, do you?
And I have to share with you this one. This one Friends memory, because it caused that show actually caused a breakup of one of my best friends.
Okay.
It was the Friends. It was the Friends series.
So it's
going to
make you feel great.
Yeah. Right. No, but
let me have it.
Yeah. No problem. Friends series finale. There might have been a few clippings about that. It might have been in the news. Like it was a
people knew about it.
It was a national event.
How many people saw that?
Oh,
I don't
God.
Know.
Just
tens of millions.
Yeah, tons.
It was like 50 billion.
Sure.
All right.
I'm sure you get though. There's been interviews where people like will quote things like that to you as if like you know, and you just go have to go along with it, right? Like apparently,
50 billion. I would not.
Right.
I wouldn't.
Right. She is
that's
a scientist.
Why I'm not a. That's why I'm not a like legal.
Because I know that there are a few fewer human beings alive on the planet.
Just a couple.
Right now.
Right.
Give or take.
50 billion. Uh huh. Yeah. 50 billion. Yeah.
Sure.
Go on.
Yeah. Have been watching since the get go.
Yes, and that's the rule of improv. Yeah. So this is a cultural event, and we're all gathered in the dorms. We have a bunch of people just watching the finale together, and so the show ends, and we're all sort of taking it all in that this part of our lives is now ending. And my friend's girlfriend, who we've been advising him to break up with forever, just pauses for a moment and goes, wow, I wonder what's going to happen next week.
No, he didn't.
She did. And
she did.
And she was serious.
Oh.
And he just looked at her right in the middle of the group and went, we're done!
Really?
That's it! I can't take it anymore!
Really?
Broke up right there in front of everyone.
Wow.
So...
I wonder, I'm trying to justify.
Yeah, there must have been something else leading up to that.
No, not that.
Oh.
I mean, yes, break up with her. You can't. You live a life with a person who never knows what's going on.
Sure. This was the same woman who, after seeing, we were all watching a football game together, and then after they showed a replay of a touchdown, she said, "Look, honey, your team scored again."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That, I could see making that mistake. But I wonder what's going to happen next week. Maybe she meant...
In our lives.
In our lives. Like, what are we going to do next week?
Maybe
like,
if he would have let her finish her thought and not
here
just...
here we are this week.
Right. All watching Friends. What are we doing?
He preempted a reasonable explanation.
Is she the type of girl that would, like, watch Jurassic Park and go, remind me never to take a vacation there. And, like, really mean it?
Costa Rica looks terrible.
Terrible.
They have dinosaurs there.
I've heard about this. They can do that, you know.
Google says they're dangerous.
Well, which they can. But anyway.
Yeah.
But one thing I like about you and really the entire Friends cast is that a lot of people, if they get one thing like that, as significant as that, they say, you know what? I'm calling it a day. I'm good. I've done that. I'm now a part of American pop culture. But it doesn't seem like any of you guys have stopped. No one said, like, all right, I'm good. You guys have all moved on to different projects. Mm-hmm. Was there ever a moment in your head where you thought, you know what, I'm good? Or was it always just the thought of, all right, what's next? What am I going to do now?
Yeah, I think we always, all of us, felt like there will be something after this.
Sure.
There has to be. I mean, we all chose to be actors, and, you know, Schwimmer was also a director, and he started a theater company, and I know Matthew had written, and I, you know, wrote sketches at the Groundlings from time to time. But, yeah, I think we all thought about what's next. What are we going to do next? We understood, and we were very appreciative, though, that this was probably the best thing that we would
have. At what point does that become, like, do you become aware of that? Like, I mean... The first season?
Not the best in that it was the most, like, the biggest hit. Right. I mean, the best in that we all had so much fun together. I mean, it was really fun. Yeah. It's embarrassing how much fun it was.
I was just going to say.
I mean, and then you add on, the more we did it, you know, then the less time we had to spend doing it.
Right.
Because it became like clockwork. A part-time, yes. Mm-hmm. And then the more money we got.
Yeah,
for doing it,
and I'm glad you brought
ridiculous.
Up I'm
and
glad
the more opportunities that come from doing it, right? Like the more opportunities for film and everything that start coming at you,
right? Yeah,
because of
yeah.
the popularity.
And film, that's like a crapshoot anyway.
So the first few seasons, I mean, when you're doing it, is it just like, all right, let's make the best of this, and then like and enjoy each other, and you all just bond over the fact that you're lucky to get this great job, and then.
Well, we became a big hit immediately, so we had. We had that whole thing to bond over, you know, where we came out of a photo shoot and then there was all this paparazzi. We could barely make it to the car and it's a little frightening, you know.
That's got to be a crazy transition.
It was weird. Yeah, that was really weird. But we had each other and most people have to go through that alone.
Sure.
But we were really grateful to have each other for
that. You know? Yeah, you had all these people to look around and go, isn't this fucking cool, like, and then,
cool and scary, and that's fucked, right? That happens,
right?
When that happens,
because nobody was coming in like off another, like a big star on another show. You guys were all kind of breaking out together,
well,
right?
Everyone knew who Courtney Cox was,
right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she had been working. I know
she was on Family Ties.
Family Ties. She was one of Seinfeld's girlfriends.
Yes, Springsteen video.
Oh, there you go. Dancing in the Dark, right?
Yeah.
Family Ties is one of the greatest theme songs of all time. What would you do, baby?
Oh, yeah.
Without love. And then.
It's so soulful.
What would you do, baby? Sha-la-la-la. It ends with sha-la-la-la.
Sha-la-la-la. Yeah.
And the stencil sketch of the whole family.
Yeah.
And that just got you ready for the show.
It did. You guys had a good theme song, too, though.
We did, yeah.
I mean. The fact that, I mean, that's another thing, too, that, like, not only is the show and all of you individually become, like, phenomenal, but the song for the show is, like, played on radios in between the hits. Like, that's crazy.
And how about, and then I don't remember at what point we were on Oprah, either that summer or right after, and she's showing us this package they made of people, you know, meeting at coffee houses or, like, internet cafes or I don't know what, but, like, people are talking about it on the internet, which was a new thing.
Right.
Sure.
1994, you know?
Was that instrumental, in it also becoming a...
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, yeah.
You know, people having parties and getting together. We had no clue that any of that was
That's
happening.
Right. You really don't.
And we're watching this piece with our mouths open, and she turns around and she said, you all are acting or look like, you don't know
that this happens.
What's going? That this is going on?" And we went, "We don't. We don't."
And nobody tells you? Like, they're just.
Well, I mean, all,
I guess who's going to tell us?
Yeah,
the people that have to negotiate the new contract.
Yeah.
I mean, no, but you're right. Agents, like, no one. No one was like, "Wow, oh my god."
Maybe they don't want
thing.
You to get a big head about it and think that you're.
I don't know. None of us knew.
Well, wow. Also on a sitcom,
so Oprah's
you are
like,
putting
learned
in long
on
hours.
Oprah. On Oprah.
Wow.
Is where we
well, you always learn something on Oprah.
That. You do. That's that was our aha moment. See how it worked.
And everybody gets friend DVDs, right?
You get a friend DVD. You get a friend DVD.
Yeah.
And you get to be on a huge, enormous head. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Oh,
thank
my
you,
God.
Woohoo. I mean, in, well, but then that, you had such insane fans. Did you do you have any like of those crazy fan stories? Did people like name their kids Phoebe or anything, or like?
Yeah, I mean that was like Beatlemania like esque. Yeah. So there had to.
I mean, I think people did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know.
Next question.
I know. I mean, but yeah. Phoebe, that's a reasonable name. But
sure,
it's a great name.
You know, I've met some Chandlers.
Really?
Since then, I mean, I don't. I had never met a Chandler before.
Yeah, probably
Chandler Bing. Yeah, makes sense. Matthew Perry's version.
I went to a taping of Friends. It was my first thing in L.A. when I moved here from Seattle to go to USC, and it's 2001.
How'd you get tickets?
There was a kid who just one of the things at USC, like for the Student Activity Center, was like go to a taping of Friends at Warner Brothers, and I was like, I mean, it was my first taste of also like, wow, oh, that's right, living here, I have access to, you know, I hadn't seen celebrities yet, but it was just like, that's right, that film's here, it's 10 minutes from here, I can go, and they got a bus to take people.
Wow.
I think it actually might have been through the Hillel at USC.
Oh, really?
The Jewish Community Center for our business, where I worked, for an old bitter lady, Jewish lady named Fern, who would boss me around and be like, set up the tables for Shabbat dinner. I'm like, Fern, how many tables? 20. I don't know. Just set them up. We don't know who's showing up. Like Shabbat Shalom to you and Bah Humbug at the same time.
How long was the tape? Our tapings were
five
ridiculously
hours.
Long.
Yeah, it was. But I mean, I was
only
loving
five.
Yeah, I've been to sitcom tapings before.
Maybe four
were
and a
much
half.
Longer than that.
Really?
It's, yeah.
Designing Women was like 12 and a half hours.
Absolutely.
And Brad loved those tapings.
Sure, Designing Women. That's my favorite.
I'm sorry, that was a joke.
I don't know.
I just went along
with
it.
You seem too young.
I remember that show. It was great.
Yeah.
But so it was like 4.5 hours, but it was awesome. And
we
used
to have to switch out audiences because they were so
that's what I heard. And yeah, because I think they gave me the option to stay because I think people. Because, I mean, it does. I mean, people are very excited. The energy, and you guys do a great job. And you were like joking in between takes and stuff.
Yeah.
It's also like it was the greatest show on. So it's like everyone can't believe they're even this close to you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the whole way you had the
look,
sets.
Yeah, yeah, right. They can't believe they're that close to us. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty awesome. I'm pretty ridiculous.
I'm just trying to agree with you.
No, but, hey, you're a great yes ander. But it's the truth, though. Like, if you could, I wish you, I mean, I'm sure you did look up in the audience and see people's faces. But, like, I mean, there were people, like, so happy, like, to the point of tears.
Yeah, they were. They were.
And you got that from the moments, you know, the significant moments of the show, which I think is missing from a lot of shows these days that don't have the live studio audience. When Ross and Rachel like first get together, like that audience cheer is just like you can tell they're invested in this. Like this isn't some guy that's been like, all right, and we clap now. Okay, we're happy.
Except, you know, because there's so many takes and because the audience feels a little weird cheering that loud every time.
Sure.
Even though the guy, what's he called? The warm up guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he was great, by the way.
Make sure that everybody, like, remember what you did last time, okay? So do the same thing again.
Right.
But.
And giving people snacks and doing singing contests
but
with
dads.
Because
you're recording.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes they use that first response.
Sure.
And just put it in with whatever they end up using.
Yeah. Because it's the most genuine.
Yeah. It's the most genuine. And sometimes also I would think like the audience would just laugh so hard over things that weren't jokes. You know, I mean, and things that weren't
that
funny.
They were so happy.
They were just so, and sometimes I got a little aggravated thinking, well, how are we ever going to know what's working and what isn't? They're just laughing at everything. God damn it. Be more discriminating. Come on.
Bring in some people that aren't so thrilled to be here. Yeah, that we have to win over.
Would you guys try to make each other laugh on set all the time? I'm sure people ask you that all the time.
Oh my God.
Were you friends? Were you real friends in real life? Right.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like in between, like you hear stories, like in between takes, trying to fuck with each other. Would you guys?
Well, for me, it was if they tried to tickle me.
What?
Matthew and Matt.
Mm-hmm. Like before
so we would
a take?
Try to no.
Yeah.
In between, you're just waiting for whatever. And, yeah. You know, just try to tickle each other.
Hilarious.
To me, which is torture to me. I mean, I was.
You don't receive tickling
torture.
Well.
Well, I'd laugh, but I'd want to. I'd laugh, but I'd want to, like, break his fingers. Yeah. And I try to.
Tickling
be
becomes violent
try,
at a certain point.
I try to say, you can't do that anymore, or I'll break your fingers.
You have to. Boys are threatened. Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
like,
you know. Yeah, okay. But I could. I really could, but I won't because I don't want to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't make me.
Don't make me do that. Don't make me be the finger breaker.
And I couldn't ever do that.
Yeah.
When the show was over, did you. Sorry.
Sorry. I'm trying to. Anyway.
You're great. What?
That was fine.
This is great.
When the show was over, did you have to make a conscious decision of, okay, like, did you get other parts that were essentially Phoebe 2.0 that you had to say no to?
Well.
Because all your characters that you've had have been very different.
Yeah. Can we talk about The Comeback, please?
That's yeah,
one
can.
Of my favorite shows ever.
Sure.
No joke.
Yeah. But I wrote that, so that's a different character. But
had that been
can
in the
I just go back to one thing, though?
Please.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like Romy and Michelle, that was another dumb girl, Michelle Weinberger. Right. But a mm-hmm. different color dumb, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, you play it.
But, I mean, and then I did Opposite of Sex, which was an independent film.
Yep.
And, you know, that had nothing to do with Phoebe. And I was actually getting to do independent films every year. That had nothing to do with Phoebe. So mm-hmm. I felt
is that a way to
fulfilled.
Kinda, yeah.
Like, you know, yes, in that world, in an independent film world, I will not be asked to play Phoebe. Mm-hmm. Studio movies, they might want something a little more like Phoebe.
Right.
And who cares anyway? It's a fun thing
it's
to
fun
do.
Character.
I love doing different shades of dumb.
Yeah.
It's hilarious to me. And I think everyone I do comedically is a... like a different shade of dumb. Otherwise, it's not funny. It's people who aren't aware of how they come off.
It's the best. And I mean, and Valerie Cherish on The Comeback. Like, what shade of dumb is... is the, like how
that's
do you even
misguided kind of, you know, very superficial, but not really. I mean, she's still a human being, but, you know, just that, like, got to get back in the spotlight.
Yeah. She know? Was for, like, what? It was, like, 3 or 4 years she had the hit show?
She had
I'm
a,
it?
A show.
Yeah.
Called I'm It. It yeah. wasn't a hit.
Right.
Like, they canceled it before it went into syndication.
But she thought it was.
Well, she was the star of the show.
Right.
Star
right.
of the show.
And so The Comeback was, it was also the time, too, when reality TV was so prominent. And it was like such a great, usage of that and kind of pointing out how ridiculous it is.
Because
you hadn't had her, because, I mean, it was behind the scenes of you trying to make The Comeback,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a reality. It was the raw footage from a reality show.
Right.
And it was only, you know, when we did that, it was probably too soon. For that show.
It was way ahead of its time.
Because
way ahead of its time.
You know,
you and
Amazing
Michael Patrick
Race,
King, right?
Michael Patrick King.
Sex and the City, Two Broke Girls.
Right.
How do you partner up with that guy?
Well, we'd known each other.
Okay.
Yeah, because he was friends with Groundling people.
Awesome.
And so, no, I had met him, and I'd see him, you know, at every award show, Sex and the City, we'd have to get out of their way so they could go collect their award, you know, and then everyone would be like, why do you know that guy?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, well, because I've had to get up and move for him four times a year.
No, because I knew him from before.
Yeah,
and, you know, I'm sorry.
Are people that kind of like when they see big places, they're just like, if you have a couple, you know, if you and Danza are getting into it and they're like, how do you know Danza? He's like, oh, yeah, she wouldn't do my show back in the day, but it's, you know, and I'm a big fan of, you know, Friends and like with that. And then they'd be like, how do you, but were people that kind of, I don't know. Intrusive about, like, why do you know that?
No, I meant, like, our table. They'd be like, why are you smiling and laughing with the people who are getting our award?
Oh, I got
it. Just like, because we're friends.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
We're doing okay, aren't we?
Yeah. <You know. laughs> Yeah.
No one was that bitter.
Okay.
But so, yeah, so we just decided to do this, and it was right after he was done with Sex and the City, and I mm-hmm. was done with Friends. But it was the second season of Amazing Race. That's all that had been on. And for reality TV, there were no Real Housewives.
Right. No Jersey Shore, no Honey Boo Boo.
No,
none of that.
There had been the Osbournes and Anna Nicole Smith.
Wow.
Those are the only two sort of like bio reality shows. And we just thought, we knew that it was starting to take over.
Yes.
Because because we they're cheaper to do. And
yeah,
and
you just saw it.
We saw it, and I also, to me, what was so soul shaking about these shows was that it was, you know, humiliation was great.
Yeah,
that's what this represented. It was, you know, sort of, you know, dignity. Who needs that?
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, any kind of propriety. And so,
hell, they had at the show Joe Millionaire. They yeah. put the little slurp thing on the bottom, indicating a blowjob, and that was the hit thing of the show.
Jesus.
Like, and that was the selling point. And yeah, like all
but
the reality
shows.
Was
that the one where the guy didn't know? Like, there was one guy that had no idea that it was.
Oh no, that was
everyone was an actor, but
that was Joe Schmo.
Right. Whoa, I mean, this what? Is to me.
Yeah,
like,
an American Idol. We just got thirsty for seeing people get duped and just
and
humiliated.
And
yeah.
on Amazing Race, the thing that really sort of sparked, you know, the idea
yeah.
was there was this couple on Amazing Race, and they were bickering, and they had to do this one challenge where they decided that she would be the one to drink this very spicy stuff that makes you vomit. And so, but you had to get it down, and she was drinking and then vomiting. And then and vomiting and then crying, and he's yelling at her like,
oh my
"Hey,
God.
Guy, what? Do you, get it down!" She's like, "I can't help it," you know,
oh my
and
God.
Crying and vomiting, and the camera's on her, and I thought, I'm watching someone like vomit and cry,
yeah,
on national television,
and riveted.
When I wasn't riveted,
oh, okay.
I was horrified, yeah. and I thought, "What's happening? This isn't good. This is no good at all." And just thought, okay, so what's more humiliating than you're going to be on a reality show called The Comeback? It's like, who would sign up for that?
Nobody.
What an
right.
idiot!
And
so.
but now you look at you look at the things that you were doing on The Comeback, and this is in 2005. I want to like
uh-huh.
yeah. And now you look at reality shows that you were parodying, and that's become the standard.
Right.
The setting up of shots. The let's do this again. The
yeah.
utter
yeah.
humiliation. And
oh, it's so much more tame than, you know, Real Housewives of Anywhere.
Sure.
You know, like Valerie would never make it on
no.
one of those shows. I mean, she's nowhere near disgusting enough.
I also love, too, that you did expose those, like, having to reshoot things. Like, that Palm Springs episode is, like, so good.
That's a good one.
And, like, when you're pulling up to the resort and you get out and they're like, no, we got to do it again. And then the guy who is giving you who is telling you to, like, pimp out the navigator.
Like a navigator, uh-huh. Yeah.
And he gets out to, like, rub it down real quick. And just him sitting in the back seat and being, like, and, like, correcting you on, like, how to present the navigator.
Wow, this car really has a smooth ride. You mean the navigator has a smooth
yeah.
ride, please? Can you say the navigator
you
for our people?
And you're just like, yeah, okay, we're not going to say that again. Like, this
right.
is so good.
Where she finally sort of stands up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but now you see stuff like that in reality shows where someone's about to do some sort of competition and you'll be wearing isotoner gloves. Isotoner gloves have insane grip that will allow you to complete
mm-hmm.
this challenge, and that's happening now.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm sure probably.
But we knew it was happening then. I mean, I don't think
right.
I don't think we were inventing anything. I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, I think.
But you just had the wherewithal
to
see
it. Scripted, it was starting to happen with scripted TV.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of new that now, in order to offset budgets,
right.
people were having to incorporate, you know, there was product placement and stuff and
right.
trying to incorporate products into their shows. So
I just like that with your projects, whether it be The Comeback, which is doing reality shows, it's a fake reality show before that genre existed,
mm-hmm.
Or Web Therapy, where it's all improvised,
mm-hmm.
and
it really is all improvised.
I just
yeah?
found that out last
yeah.
week.
Oh,
I
you didn't know?
I thought it was scripted because the lines you guys come up with are just
yeah. He watched
genius.
A bunch of episodes,
well
and then
edited.
I was like, you know, they're making all that up. But he's like, nah, it's
well edited.
I mean, how long does that take
and
to
well
get?
Well performed. I mean, we
oh,
have
you're
phenomenal
getting the best
people. I know.
Well, I mean, you
Look
it starts
it.
With you though. Like you have to be like you know because
well,
every
and. Don Roos and Dan Bukatinski.
Yeah.
And, you know, Don Roos is directing, and we can hear him, you know, in our ear, and sometimes he'll throw out a line.
That's great.
That we should say.
Just to take
fantastic.
It in another direction, right?
Or just
oh, as you're
a
going,
line,
you have okay.
As we're going. Or he'll say, all right, can you go back and let's get this part and
that's awesome.
Do that. And we write the outlines, you know,
right.
we arc the stories and stuff. And we also talk with the actor who's going to be doing it. Sometimes they, like Lily Tomlin came in to meet with us, and we were there for 3 hours, and oh my God, she came up with so
like?
Much fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
And then she shows up, with mm-hmm. wigs and props and, you know, her Jesus. Like hair and makeup people who then make little wigs for her little puppets and little puppets for her idea.
Holy crap.
She was unbelievable. Oh, my gosh. She's like...
And at what point, I mean, from the get-go...
That's why she is who she is.
Of course. Sure. Yeah. From the get-go, when you started reaching out to people, was it just like, I mean, everyone was like, yes, you plus that idea for a show sounds, I want to be a part of it? Or
yeah, and it was just a web series. And so, right. you know, we asked Jane Lynch, who mm-hmm. I didn't really know. I just thought she was great.
Yeah.
And I think Dan Bukatinski yep. sort of knew her. And she was like, sure, that sounds fun. And she had shot the pilot for Glee. So that was just really lucky. That,
right.
You know, then, and then it's like, well,
yeah, because then Glee breaks.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then Bob Balaban, yep. who's I'm friends with him, and he said he would do it, which is a big deal. You know, you get people that actors respect.
Yep.
And sure. And it takes it takes a lot for an actor to be like, wait, but there's no script. I have no lines to fall
people.
Back on.
Well, these people did, you know, like Christopher Guest movies.
Sure.
And Tim Bagley. Tim Bagley's an
Tim Bagley's great.
But like, are there
people? And Drew.
Yeah, I saw him too. Yeah.
That was, he was
yeah.
great.
He was great.
He was so good.
But then like Meryl Streep reached out to you, right?
No.
Okay.
No. I saw her and she was like, oh, I like that L Studio thing you're doing. And I was like, oh, web therapy. She's like, yeah, that's funny. How do you do that? And it's improvised. It is? Oh, that sounds fun. I said, it is really fun. If you ever want to do it, I'd love to. And I said, well... You just said that.
you just said you would. So,
you know, of course, now I'm going to email you. She said, "Well, yeah, I hope you do." Wow, and I did, and she said, "Yes."
That's.
I mean,
and we said, "When are you available?" Because we'll fly out.
Let's
like,
do it immediately.
Care. Yeah.
Sure.
Now, is it something like that? I mean, she's not known for being an improviser, but I mean, is she just such a great actor that like that's in her repertoire? Or did she have any experience doing that?
I think. Most actors,
right.
anyway,
yeah,
they know how to listen and respond,
right.
and she does know how to improvise.
Because she was, I think, so funny.
She's unbelievably
like you guys
sharp. She
so
was
good.
Not fed lines so much. I mean, she's
takes her time,
really quick.
You know?
Yeah. She's just quick, smart, and funny. And then you know, she also walked in and said, "Oh, I need to talk to the electrician here." He's over there. And we thought, lighting? Is that mm-hmm. why, maybe? I don't know. No, of course not. She doesn't do that. She wanted to talk to the electrician about what's it called when you have... I can't remember what it's called when you have, like, the two prongs touching each other. And he's like, suicide point. Right, that. Thank you. Because she worked that into, that's why gay sex is wrong. because she was a gay conversion.
Yeah.
therapist yeah. and she was just trying to
because your
know,
husband in the show right
had,
yeah
yeah
mm-hmm. and she was talking about
she was treating him because he was about to run for office and so the Republican backers needed him to quote unquote straighten out
right
so they sent him to her
and the pictures she had of like you right I remember
she just described
right
pictures of me sort
yeah.
of looking up
naked. Yeah
it was so funny but she was just trying to say see you know you have a female part and a male part with, you know, electricity. And that's how they go together and connect. But when you got two prongs, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. And she said, it's called the suicide point. And it's just so smart.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so clever.
And for her to take a second, too, to like really get the terminology down just makes that whole moment even.
But yeah, and then that's her. But that's her.
Are you in that moment like, wow, I'm doing this with Meryl Streep? Or are you?
I had to get rid of that as quickly
yeah.
as possible. I had to like just, okay, you're Fiona Wallace and this is Camilla Bonner.
Mm-hmm. And
my earpiece wasn't working.
Okay.
So we're starting off and I can't hear her. And I think she thought it was because she was doing like a soft spoken character. But that wasn't it. It was that my earpiece wasn't working. And anyway, I don't know. I feel bad because I don't feel like I ever made it clear to her. So Meryl, if you're listening to this podcast.
Oh, she is.
Please understand.
Yeah, her and Danny Glover get together every Sunday and
wow.
listen to it.
Wow.
They do.
It's also genius, too, to use the Skype. Like, I mean, that's such a big just tool that, like, you know, it's such a relatable thing that people use. And
mm-hmm.
and why a shorter amount of therapy session? Did you feel like that was, like, more?
Well, because we thought that... the idea of that was, A, because it's the dumbest thing.
Do people actually do Skype therapy? I'm sure, right?
Yes, they do now more than ever. But I think at the time, there were therapists who had clients, you know, in town who would leave town and then they would just have a session. Because, you know, sometimes people have a session over the phone when they're on vacation. And so people would sometimes use Skype, like, to have a session. But it's not really allowed. I mean, you know, I don't know what the formal psychiatric association, it's not to be done. It's not. And there certainly wasn't, you know, therapy being offered on the web. You know, that was just something that I thought was the dumbest idea in the world. And that people do think we're doing things on the web, like shopping and then dating, you know, finding dates, like intimate things, too. And I thought, well, what's next? The therapy. And then you knock that out in 3 minutes, too, because no one wants to do anything longer than 3 minutes. Our attention span now, which it turns out, thank God, is not true.
Right.
You know, people will look at things longer than 3 minutes.
Yes. Thank God for that, since this podcast is a little over an hour. So that's good.
And there's nothing to look at.
Have you done podcasts before?
What do we look at? What is anyone looking at?
There's cameras. Have you done podcasts before?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What do you think about this whole medium of just programming?
It's like,
it's cool, right?
Radio. It's great. Yeah. Right. I mean, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I don't know. What do I not know about ground. It?
that's pretty much what you just described it as.
You guys will shoot like, what, 3 episodes in like a weekend? Like, because it is
in a weekend, we'll do like 15 webisodes. So like each person will do 3 pretty much. And we'll do 2 people a day.
And these
over
people,
3 days.
And I mean, now you've had Conan and Courtney Cox, right? They won.
Yeah.
I mean, can you do
Chelsea Handler? That was hilarious. Billy Crystal,
Rosie O'Donnell,
Steve Carell.
Yeah, that one was so good.
Oh my God.
Michael McDonald.
Yeah, we had him back too.
Yeah,
he plays Victor Garber, plays my husband, and he's his boyfriend.
Yeah, so good. Is that fun too? To like when you get together with a guy like that and like improvise with people that you just.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but you haven't worked with in a while, right? I'm like,
yes.
Because
so
kind of,
Tim
you
Bagley
get right in.
And Michael McDonald and Conan, that was, I mean, because now.
Dude, he was so good.
This is like, you know, Conan and I haven't played, you know, like that since like, I don't know, before 1993.
Wow. Yeah, because when you're on these talk shows, that's, I mean, you're still playing more or less, but there's a little bit more of.
But we used to do bits. Like, you know, we'd like be driving somewhere and we would do a bit in the car and it was really fun. And I forgot about it because I forget everything that I don't need. But then we're doing this thing. We're done. He said, oh, that was exactly like, you know, we were like driving somewhere. And
like, what would you do in the car?
Oh, my God, that's right. That's what we would. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just these like stupid bits.
Yeah.
But that was so much fun. It was really fun. Because he would just like go off in his thing.
He's so dry, too.
Well, there was some metaphor we got all caught up on, and it was. I think I laughed at one. I broke at one point, but he was like, "No." And I said, "Well, you know." He said, "Well, you said therapy's a two-way street." And I said, "Okay, well, I'm gonna go down another street." And he said, "You can't because it's a cul-de-sac." No. Then I'll choose a different street. He's like, "Well, they closed that off. They're doing work on it, and they closed it off." It's like, wait, this is apples and oranges. Yeah. That's a different metaphor. Yeah,
And that just shows how good Conan is, because the first rule of improv is yes and he's saying no, which is the one thing you're not supposed to do, yet he's still making it work, and he's still making it fun.
I mean, the first rule of improv is everything's okay.
Yeah,
sure.
So even a no has to be okay. I mean, it was too much fun, and, you know, he also, at first we came up with a character for him to do, and he was like, let's not.
Really?
Just be me. And, you know, it's funnier if, you know, she doesn't watch my show and she doesn't
that was
know
so
who
good.
I am, or she doesn't even think I'm funny. It's like, oh.
Yeah, you kept calling him, I think, a different name in it or something. Or you, Andy, well, you were like,
Conan.
Andy's funny.
Yeah, like, Andy's so funny.
Yeah. And you kept
Andy's
like,
really funny.
Yeah, you
he's
kept recalling
so
bits he'd done.
Because it really bugged him, you know, that Andy might be funnier.
Do you base a character like
Conan? And he'd say, it's Conan.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Conan. He's like, no, I'm not Dutch.
Do you base like that Hurt Fiona or Valerie on like actual therapist or actor that you? I mean, no.
Look, I'm shaking my head no. Like, and everyone understands what that means. Yeah.
But I mean, like, what? How do you start like with to create those? Like, what are you pulling from to go? This is who Valerie is.
Oh well, Valerie actually did a character in The Groundlings.
Okay.
That had no name. It was just I did a monologue, and it was your favorite actress on a talk show, because I wanted to make fun of phony actresses on talk shows, yeah. You know, who were there pretending not to be promoting themselves, but really there for about a, you know, a cause,
right.
You know,
right.
And I loved that monologue. I had that person just, you know, talking about how, you know, it's just what's really, really important is the environment, you know, so please, please, people, please save the planet as a favor to me. I'll love you for it. I really will. Like, just so phony in that accent. And
what is that accent they do with Valerie? Like, it's got like a slight southern twang to it, but
yeah,
not,
it is
it's not.
Sort of, yeah. But it's that like phony actor sort of like, what era are you from that you're talking like that? Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I almost feel like it's from the 1920s, like doing those little speakeasy pictures. It gets crazy.
Sort of. But I mean, if you watch people even in like the 70s or 80s, there's mm-hmm. still a little bit of diction or, you know, like that kind of stuff happening.
Now to find like more of like Valerie though, like, is that just through like, do you like, once you come up with the show, like just kind of do some improv exercises to flush her out more? Like, because she's so defiant. Like, I mean, even like in the scene in that Palm Springs one where she's trying to get the chairs by the pool, and that interaction you have with the young girl about how, you know, she's like, well, we're safe. Like, my friends, we got here at 7 a.m., but all my friends are napping, but there were five open chairs, and you're just kind of like, oh, well, it's okay. So, but there's just this beautiful, awkward moment of like, you think, well, nobody's using them, but like, you just saw, I don't know, every moment,
she's,
you know, exactly.
Out, like, how do I get what I want?
Yeah. And how do you get to the point of flushing that we just know her inside and out? Just from that monologue in The Groundlings, you knew who this person?
No, not okay. at all. Not from just that monologue. But you know, we just, you know, Michael and I knew that she had, you know, what her motivation always is how do I get what I want?
Right.
Mm-hmm. How do I get what I want and then stay nice and have everyone like me at the same time?
Totally. Because I was going to say, because she's always so likable and like never losing her cool.
And always smiling, which is like even when she's when she's insulting the producer, Laura Silverman's character,
mm-hmm.
and just like, oh, well, if you hadn't done it that way, then we'd be doing something better, and just like smile, and that total condescension. And I was watching it, just going, I've met so many people like that in this damn business,
or her also not listening to people,
yeah,
like when Laura's character starts saying something and they're walking onto the set and she's like, uh-huh, do you have a boyfriend, Jane? No, I don't. Oh, you know, put a pin in that because look at here we are. Like, it's sort of, instead of just saying like, I'm not even a little bit interested anymore, because now it's about me and my set.
Yeah.
And this is a good moment for the show.
Oh, dude, that was big. Because
we care about too. It's our show. My show. Our show.
Yeah. Like those two gay men that you met in that, like in the Palm Springs one?
Yes, that was John Rigi, was one of them. He was writing on the show, and he's a phenomenal writer.
The bald dude? With
mm-hmm.
the
yeah. Yeah.
And that's just that whole moment where
he
was like, well, my parents we haven't come out to his parents yet. And you were just like, well, this would be a great time to do it on the show.
I know, isn't that awful?
And you got him to sign it.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
talked him into coming out,
but they were on
awful.
Board with it though. You don't feel bad because they were like, so
I know, but you
yeah
know,
of course
that's, you know, she's not an indecent person, but she definitely has her agenda, and then everyone else can pick up their own pieces,
right? Do you think there has to be a balance of like seeing Valerie get kind of like when you got that phone call that they, you know, from Malin Ackerman's character about like, we're all at this party and like, why aren't you, like, he made a joke about how she's not invited, and you were like, oh, no, it's because I'm spending the weekend away.
Right.
So, like, you feel, so it almost felt justified for you to then get them to come out on the show, because you're like, oh, she's going through some shit, too. So it's,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Do you feel like there has to be that balance of, like, you feel bad and then it's justified?
Well, yes, because, I mean, the truth is, it's all true. I mean, it's all true. I mean, people are, it's not an easy, well, what career is easy? Like, what career are people not being like shit on?
Sure.
All the time.
I was about to say juggler, but no, they get a lot of shit.
Oh, they get so much shit.
And they're some of the most skilled people on the planet.
You know, I just think that's how it goes, you know? That's just how it goes. It's full of rejection, and there's bitterness, and there's backstabbing and nastiness. And then also, you know, but you need to get what you need.
Yeah.
And, you know, for a lot of artists, they need to be able to do their art, so they put up with stuff. But for her, it's not even about the art. It's just, you know, gotta get back in that spotlight. That's what it's about. No, it's not. But that's not what it's about.
Yeah, dude.
And we deliberately had her married to a very successful hedge fund guy.
Right. Sure.
So she doesn't need money. This isn't about getting that job to pay the rent.
It's just to be back, and it's just for fame.
Or because that's she has no one in her life. She has a husband who loves her, and she loves him. So it's not like she's all alone, and right. This is her own. I've deliberately made it that, you know, you don't need this. What are you doing? What are you signing up for?
You don't need it. Yeah, yeah.
It's not important. But, you know, to her it is. She's very damaged. So.
Yeah, and I
that's why you like her.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing on the show that you got that definitely flash forward now to what we see on reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we see constantly is people that have it's sad that like they have so much, whether it be the housewives, Kardashians, whatever, have so much, but they're still trying to get more and still trying to be like, this is, I know I have to be famous. This has to happen.
Yeah.
We were talking to Dr. Drew. He was another guest on the podcast, and he said it used to be people would say, I want to grow up and be like a fireman or a cop or a job. Now
Ninja
people,
Turtle.
Yeah. Well, who,
that was me.
Until
about nine.
Right.
And my mom was like, well, you know, you got to lose some weight first.
He was a fat
She told me I couldn't wear sweatpants at my bar mitzvah. That was her passive way of telling me to lose weight. She was a little bit of a bigger kid.
Well, how does a mom tell her son to lose weight for his bar mitzvah?
It was tough, yeah. But I think that you can't wear sweatpants was a good angle on it.
Yeah.
But even so, I was like, what do you mean I can't wear sweatpants? I was like, I can wear a suit top and sweatpants. Like, that'll be. But no.
Oh, Adam.
That face was perfect.
Oh, God.
If you all could see it.
Yeah.
But I lost my
Were you Bob Mitzvah?
Yeah.
Oh, you're Jewish. I had no idea.
Yeah, now what?
Yeah. Well, obviously change? I'm cool with it.
Yeah, yeah. I had no idea.
I know.
Yeah.
It changes everything. I know this business.
This is my partner. I'm good. This is my heterosexual life made over here. So, yeah.
Have you ever been
to
a bar mitzvah?
Weird to meet a Jew in this business. I know.
Did you go to a lot of bar mitzvahs?
I did.
Right? Weren't they fun? After a while, they're almost like parties or weddings for kids.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you had fun at them. I'm happy for you. Yeah, wait, but we were going to ask something.
I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
But it was good.
Bar mitzvah tangents do not need to.
Somewhere. Oh well.
No. You said
no. It was that. Is that people say that now they don't want a certain career? Now kids say that they just
Dr. Drew.
That they just want to be famous.
Famous, yeah. Right? That's the goal.
And,
I know.
And that's it. And
I know.
And. You
but
were
that's
someone.
That's what we were doing. That's exactly what we were trying to address. Was that there's no good comes of this. This is not a goal, and we could see that that's what people were after. I mean, they were really just after being famous. And like, how can you not know that that leads to huge disappointment that you might not recover from, and it's dangerous.
It's limiting. You have a short lifespan.
And then we were wrong because it is a goal and it is a career.
Yeah,
yeah.
Kardashians are cleaning up with that.
Yeah.
Just being famous. And you're someone that can attest that it's not all it's cracked out to be, and you don't have to just be famous. You can have your work and you can have your personal life separate. Mm-hmm. And you've managed to do that.
Right.
And you're proof that you don't have to be like in the public at all times.
Yeah,
all times.
You do a great job
of that.
Is there like a secret to that, or you just don't? I mean, you say you don't go out a lot, so that's a big part of it.
Yeah, we don't go out. And so, I'm married to someone who's not in the industry, so
that's
all, you know,
that's great, right? Was that like a plan, or was it just?
No, we were together, and we got engaged first season of Friends, and then we got married that summer.
Yeah.
So, and we stayed together.
We
paid attention to our marriage.
Wait, is that the secret?
Yeah, Jesus.
You actually have to work at it.
You do.
I thought it was just all coming natural to people.
So, what do you guys do for fun? Like watch movies and stuff. Play tennis? Do you still play tennis?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
All right, next question. Did you ever want to be a pro tennis player?
No.
Okay. Do you like to watch it? Have you been to like Wimbledon?
I'm not a sports spectator.
Oh, really? At all?
At all. I don't care.
Is your husband?
I don't care because it's not about me.
Exactly. Hey, I'm actually becoming
That's where the actor thing comes in. That's
exactly.
Where the ego. Why should I watch these other people get fame recognition?
What's interesting about this? I'm not playing.
I'm not. That jersey doesn't have Kudrow on the back of it.
I know. I don't get it.
So. Yeah, it's actually true. Like, I'm a huge basketball fan and from Seattle, and they took the Seattle Supersonics and moved them to Oklahoma City 3 years ago. I'm not going to get into it because I'll start crying. But but it was a big. But the last 4 years, I haven't been emotionally invested the way that a dude is with their team, mm-hmm. and it was almost. I mean. A giant bummer, but also kind of like, I was like, wow, now I have all this time and energy that I can put more into my career uh-huh. and my family and care about things that actually, instead of a group of men who don't even know that I exist.
No, they don't. They don't care about you. They don't care about this podcast. How's it going? And God, Kudrow needs to get closer to that mic.
Well, Danza might be thinking that. That's sure. just because he's a mic specialist.
He does.
All right. Well, so what do you guys do?
Are we done?
I don't want to hear what you like to do for fun. Yeah, we're winding down.
What do I do for fun? Yeah. No, I don't. Nothing. Everything's fun to me. I'm just that person.
Yeah, you are though.
Yeah. Well, she finds a joy. I mean, you could be doing anything right now. You decided I want to hang out with my nephew's friend and his midget life mate.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I'd put it.
That's what got out of here.
Yes, let's clarify that I said the M word before the Little People of America started picketing outside Kudrow's mansion.
Yeah.
Kudrow's mansion. That's so funny. That's what we call it. We have a sign.
Just Kudrow's mansion.
Yeah.
You guys
Wouldn't
have
that
big.
Be ridiculous?
That would be great. That sounds like a great name for like a Hootie and the Blowfish cover band.
Kudrow's Mansion.
Kudrow's Mansion.
Hey, we're Kudrow's Mansion, and this is Hold My Hand. Let's go.
You and me, we come from different worlds. Oh wait, no, that's Only Want to Be with You.
You know, whatever. That's fine.
Is Hold My Hand a real song?
Yes, it
by
is.
By Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh. I didn't know.
Well, what kind of music do you like?
I like, you know, I don't know, all kinds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you sing karaoke ever?
No.
Why not?
Absolutely no.
Wow.
It's not fun for me.
Is there like a karaoke horror story from your past?
No.
That was a definite
like a
no.
couple glasses no. of Chardonnay, no. maybe won't, no?
That's not fun for me.
Okay.
Never
that. I mean, when you like, what do you do for fun? I'm not kidding. I mean, nothing.
Take it easy.
That's not fun for
movies,
me.
TV shows? Have you?
I like movies and TV shows. Yeah.
Do you color? Like, what do you?
I like coloring.
She reads Highlights magazines.
Yeah.
Where's Waldo books?
They've got puzzles in those. So I do like them a lot.
Puzzles. One of my nieces, I have twin nieces or four-year-old girls. One of them now goes to sleep with a puzzle.
Really?
Yeah. What? Like it's a, like
how
it's,
do you do that?
Instead like a life
you
puzzle.
Need to be not awake like, to do a like, puzzle.
She's that good.
Yeah. She's there's some issues beyond that. She'll like put it in her bed and on top of the box and do pieces and then put it to the side and then she always knocks it over because she's you know sleeping. And
that's really cute.
It's adorable. And I'm trying to figure out like what does that mean? Like she is very cerebral too. Mm-hmm. So, but she wants to do bigger ones now. Like she does like the 50 piece ones that are like a cow or a cat.
How old is she?
Four.
Oh my gosh. That's really young for that.
Yeah,
I'm still not doing the puzzles. Small hands doesn't work out.
Oh,
is that why?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what? I don't do them either. No interest. It doesn't work out.
What about Sudoku? I'm trying to find.
I did love Sudoku.
Okay, yeah, there
I
we
was
go.
Big on Sudoku, and then I stopped and enjoying the challenges. So
Sudoku became easy for you?
No.
Oh,
I just didn't like the challenging ones. So yeah. When I'm on a plane, I do the easy ones
okay.
that you could just sort of do without having to.
Are you a crossword puzzle person?
I don't love crossword puzzles okay. so much. I feel like they mock me. They do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know,
four. You get one word wrong and then nothing else works. And it's just, it's insulting and mean and.
Sure.
Well, we know you have a busy schedule inside the Kudrow Mansion.
And yeah, so I got to get back.
Yeah. So
I'm going to polish the sign.
Polish the statue of you outside your...
So that everybody knows.
This is the Kudrow Mansion.
People do have statues of themselves. There are, you know, there are people who are that vain.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Danny Glover has three statues in his front yard.
Really?
Yeah, from each Lethal Weapon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't at all. But he probably does.
Making stuff up right
now. Yeah, just trying to test out my acting chops on you.
But
I believe yeah, up until your popsicle burst into flame.
Were you on board with that story for a minute?
For a second, I thought, so Danny Glover was visiting Seattle?
I guess that would happen.
I don't know.
Sure.
It's a fixation. As it does.
But the fact that you that you continue to find new and interesting ways to challenge yourself and new projects and you just keep putting yourself out there and putting out great work.
Thank you.
And it's very admirable. And
Thank you very much.
This podcast is going to rank right up there with it's like
with my other achievements.
Absolutely, absolutely. Friends, come back, analyze this. About last night podcast. That's the.
I like how she just laughed that off. Yeah, no, that's exactly
that's
what they won't say.
That's silly. This podcast. That's silly. This podcast is way better than Analyze This.
So great.
Not true, by the way. But I'm trying to wrap this up in a civilized manner.
Let him end it.
I'm sorry.
Let him let it be over.
But
walk me to my car.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for doing this, really.
Thank you. Yeah. This was fun.
Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Did you appreciate the Rite Aid jar candles? We try to set the tone a little bit.
Well, I don't know where they're from. I didn't notice them.
Oh, but did you notice the melon vanilla cake smell?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I did.
This
place is very clean.
Thank you.
There you go. Adam Ray, keeping
very
it real.
Good. I'm an adult. Just so you know.
Hey, thank you.
He knows how to keep clean.
What was that noise?
I don't know. That was just me being. That was me confirming that with an excited.
It sounded sort of like your mother getting excited. Like, ooh, someone maybe.
She's way too excited. We'll be at Subway and she'll be like, I'll have a 6-inch meatball on. And then she'll just stand there and like look over at me and look at the cashier and go, do you recognize him?
Oh.
After the movie. One movie. I'm not famous at all. One According to Jim guest star, a movie, a couple of little smaller things. Just go, it was just in a movie. The person will be like, oh, it was like, and then they'll, oh, what movie? And then, oh, Sandra Bullock. And just
no
really pitch it to everybody.
Yeah.
Your mom's so supportive. That's sweet.
Oh, really
it's
supportive.
Great. You have to have that.
You do, yeah.
And now she's going to be like, do you recognize his voice? This is the one that talked to Lisa Kudrow?
Sure.
Over now.
Oh, she'll brag about
it. Dr. Drew Pinsky?
Absolutely.
I love Dr. Drew.
So great.
Mm-hmm.
So smart.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Lisa.
We do appreciate it. And we know you have tons of stuff going on. So the fact that you carved time out of your day for this little podcast, we truly appreciate it.
No problem. My TiVo, so everything is still. That's
the only reason. Thank God for TiVo. Jesus.
We got, so thank you, TiVo, for allowing Lisa Kudrow to be here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so 1997 or whatever.
Well, you have to get back to your TiVo, so we will allow you to do that. And thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank Little Caesars,
too. I mean, you can turn the sound off anytime you want, right?
Yeah, no.
And then it's over.
And then it's over.
Blackout.
Yeah.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. No need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.